Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
What really is keeping you from having the money in your life that you want, the abundance, the wealth? Could it be the energy of something like shame? Could it be the energy of guilt or even apathy? Could it be grief or fear? Fear, that's a big one. Could it actually be the desire or the craving, the energy of desire or craving in your body? Could it be anger, pride, or even courage? In today's episode, Bill McKenna and I are going to break it right down for you and make it really clear what might be holding you back. So welcome to the show, everybody. Hey, Bill McKenna.
Hi. I am so happy that we are doing this episode today. It is something that should be mandatory requirement for anybody going into high school, you know, maybe even grammar school. I wish I knew this. My life would have gone so much better if I just knew what we're going to talk about today. These things that destroy us financially are the hidden emotions that we don't really even acknowledge. Or we simply suppress it. Maybe we are acknowledging it and fully what I would call embracing our shame. You know, I'm a bad person or whatever. Or our grief. You know, I don't deserve. But these emotions and these feelings we have, sometimes they're not even ours. They're from our parents. And or our ancestors, or could be just witnessing something in our lives, a tragedy. And that sets up a cycle where we are basically in a boom bust cycle or feeling like there's a glass ceiling. Yeah. And, you know, as a race, we can't get above it. There's a glass ceiling there for our race, and there's no way out. Yeah. Or many, many other things. But today's topics are immense value.
Yeah, we are going to bust this thing, break it down for you. So I'm going to give you instructions for how to listen to this episode. Listen with your body. Let yourself feel. And what will happen is as Bill and I hit on the different points, you will have a strong feeling. You will feel it in your body. It will feel so familiar. And you'll be able to tell, oh my gosh, that's me. That's my level. That's what's holding you back. So here's the thing to understand, everybody. If you know Bill and I, you know that we're the creators of the Cogno Movement System. And everything we do is based in sensation in the body. That drives the thought, and that sensation thought combo drives your actions. So this is about how does it feel? So you may not consciously know the idea, like the word shame or guilt or blame or whatever, but you have this overwhelming sensation, and that sensation feels like an electric fence in your life. Like it just holds you back or punches you right in the face. Every time you try to reach for something that is beyond that sensation. So let's start with the levels. This is based on what's called the Hawkins Scale, a book that David Hawkins wrote, Power Versus Force. You don't have to worry too much about that right now, but it tells levels of energy based on emotional states. Let's leave it at that. Pretty simple. So the first one is shame. And it is the heaviest, right, Bill? It has humiliation and misery right in it. So how many of us have ever felt miserable about money? And could the root of it be in shame? So with shame, there's so many things. Like maybe you were shameful to have wealth, poor, or both. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like around money, shame is a huge one. It's something that so many people have in their bodies, right?
It is so interesting how it relates to money, because you know, Dr. David Hawkins talks about shame being the densest of all of the emotions, humiliation, the most dense. And he talks about there's so very little energy when you're in shame and humiliation that you have little energy to get things done. So not only do you have very low energy, you feel inherently flawed. Like I am bad in my core. It's different than guilt. Guilt is I'm guilty about doing this thing. Shame is I feel horrible about me.
Yeah, you know what I just thought of, Bill? Think about being a kid. Money doesn't grow on trees. You should be ashamed of yourself for spending that dime on a candy, right?
Yeah.
Shame in church. You know, it's easier to get for a poor man or a rich man to go through the eye of a camel.
Needle.
Not the eye of a needle. Right? A camel through the eye of a needle. Easier for a rich man to ride a camel through the eye of a needle than to get into heaven. Shame right there, right?
Yeah.
But it's so dense. It's so heavy. And you're just inherently wrong because, of course, you want abundance. You want wealth.
Yeah.
That's inherent too.
Yeah. And that shame is basically the limiter. You don't even know it, but why don't I have money like they have money?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I get what I want? You know, it's impossible. It's impossible for me. And the thing is that all of it is just based in a feeling.
Yeah.
It's a feeling. And sometimes we don't even know, you know, why we have the feeling. I can't point to a particular event. It's just the way I feel. You know, I don't like the color of my skin. I don't like, you know, my teeth. I don't like the way my hair is. You know, my face is a little funny. You know, you just don't feel like very good about you. It's even worse than not that. It's ashamed.
Yeah. Well, embarrassed. I think people can relate to that word. You know, when you were a kid, were you ever embarrassed that you didn't have the nice clothes like the other kids? You couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Were you ever embarrassed to bring somebody home to your house? Because they would see what your family's class level was based on money.
Yeah.
So feel into that, everybody. This is going to be wherever your block around money is, it is going to feel so familiar, like the thing that has plagued you since you were born. Just familiar. And it might have that same sensation of embarrassment, like the tightening in the gut, maybe, you know, shortness of breath, tightening in the throat. But it could be things like your hands go numb or your low back hurts. So related with money and shame, you might have low back pain. This is very common, right? Low back pain or even hip problems, that coccyx hip level area, root chakra stuff, you know, could be even female problems or male problems, you know, all of that's down in there. And it feels like being humiliated. If this is running your system, it's the driver for you around money, drives you forward, but it's also going to be your electric fence. So heavy, heavy energy. And of course, it feels like you can't get out of the way.
Yeah, you just can't get out of the way. And, you know, this thing has real life ramifications. And we know this. actually in our experience. A little story for you. There is a woman I worked with several years ago in a different country. I don't want to give this away, so I need to keep her anonymous. She was in another country, and basically it not only had a house, but actually had some prime property. Property that was very valuable, commercial property that was for sale for 10 years. Everything around it would be bought and sold, but this particular prime piece of property would not sell. No one made any offers for, get this, 10 years, 10 solid years. And anyway, this person hadn't realized it, but there were things in her childhood that she felt very ashamed of. And it was kind of a low-level feeling in her body. This feeling that she had about the events of her childhood ended up, when we were doing the session, we cleared her shame. So that through cognitive movement, we cleared out her shame. And get this, within 3 days, the property had a full price offer. It sold. Someone else had offered to rent, wanted to lease a guest house on her other property. And there was a third thing that Liz had reminded me about, where there was somebody wanting to use her pasture land and pay her. And so it was like a trifecta that happened literally within 3 days of it being cleared. And this story, by the way, you can change names and circumstances, but the exact same thing happens. Within a short period of time, everything turns around. Once the core underlying the issue is actually found. Which leads us into the next level, which is guilt. Now, guilt and blame. This is the next level up from shame and humiliation. This has to do, guilt is associated with events of life. I did the wrong thing. And this one is particularly powerful because from our inception, you know, we are taught, you know, especially if you're in the, you know, Judeo Christian or, you know, Jewish or, you know, that whole area, you know, of teaching, you know, we're taught to be guilty, you know, right from the jump. And if you go to church, you know, welcome sinners, you're not worthy. Say, I'm not worthy. Yeah, and anyway, we're taught all kinds of things about why we should feel guilty. And we have a lot of rules, lots and lots of rules, so that you can break them and then feel real guilty about that.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, guilt about taking too many resources.
Oh, yes.
You know, this one goes back to, you're at the kitchen table and you need to eat all your Brussels sprouts because there are children in China who are starving.
Oh, yes.
Guilt, taking up too much resources and maybe not appreciating it or not appreciating what you have already.
Mm-hmm.
Kid, right? Or the idea that you would have more than someone else is a bad thing, especially in religion. Coveting what someone else has, wanting something that someone else might have, admiring it even, is a sin.
Oh, yes.
It's a sin. A mortal sin. I don't know if it's a mortal sin, but it's a sin. So guilt is so deeply, like you said, Bill, woven into our lives. And then that the emotion of that is also often blame. You're going to blame someone else for the reason that you don't have what you need or what you want. And so this one is very insidious. And a lot of times a person has no idea that they even have guilt about finances. But nice people have this one about having too much, and that would be taking from someone else. So lack mentality is a big one in guilt, especially about money, money and resources and taking up space on the planet.
Or guilty about a loss. You done took a risk and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And now you're guilty. You're the reason we're suffering. I'm the reason I'm suffering. I feel guilty about making a bad decision. Yeah. You know, this guilt, you would think, gosh, well, I can understand that the reason that I don't have money or whatever is because maybe I feel guilty about having too much or guilty about some other aspect of money and wealth, or that I'm guilty because if I take it, you know, providing something and taking money for it, you're self-centered, guilty. So these distorted views will impact if we can keep our money or we can actually even accept money. It goes way beyond this. And this story was an amazing tragedy. There was another woman that I worked with who was assaulted three separate times by three separate men, all ending up in a pregnancy and her going through terminating the pregnancies. Three separate men, three separate times. And when I had asked her, do you have any guilt? You have any guilt? And this is prior to the discovery of this fact. She was like, no, I have no guilt in my life. I don't believe in guilt. We went and did the session. And, you know, there's a way that we can tell through the eyes when they're in a certain position that's, you know, there's something here. There's a significant event. Well, we found that area. And it was all of a sudden, oh my God, flood of tears came, the realization of, oh my God, I have so much guilt. I had completely suppressed this. See, she had suppressed it. It turned out it was actually in her two front teeth, oddly enough. And she had discovered this, and it was such an emotional situation having gone through this. We processed this horrific, horrific thing that she had been through. And get this, this particular person was in the entertainment industry and ended up really wanted kind of a global stage, if you will. And within 24 hours, for 15 years, there was nothing. And then 24 hours, it was like the global stage opened up and the opportunity to be everywhere happened like that. But I say this because it's tied into money. It's tied into her life. It's tied into, you know, something that was suppressed. You don't even know. You don't even know. You think it's not what you think, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
The hidden thing. It was the hidden thing that was stopping her financial flow, but her success as well. All right, so we've come up against our first break. Let's hear from our good sponsors at the UK Health Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Today, we are talking about the hidden emotions, the hidden reasons that could be cutting off your flow of financial abundance. So if you guys are loving this content that we're talking about today, and you've already discovered your root block, if it's guilt or shame, Bill and I are the hosts of an event called CognoConscious, where we go through and clear every one of these levels live in person in sunny San Diego, September 8th through 12th, 2025. It is a five-day event. It is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life and the most fun, and you emerge a brand new person. So we were talking about a person who, it was something completely unrelated to money that was her block financially. Very interesting. And it often happens this way. So let's move up. We're moving up the scale, strangely, but it doesn't really feel like it necessarily, to apathy. Apathy is that thing of it's hopeless and there's no use. You know, it's the process is abdication. And I always think of the king abdicating the throne. You just walk away. You just want to. I also call this level the level of lane in the middle of the road. You know, there's just no point. And despair is really the sensation, the feeling of no use. And this is a funny one because before CognoConscious, every year we actually do our own process work ourselves through the scale, and we're doing that this year. And I was at the level of apathy, and I was thinking about, well, gosh, I don't have apathy. Where would I find that? You know, thinking about the emotion of it and realizing I equated it to bad luck. Oh, there's that bad luck, right? Oh, there goes my luck. And realized that I had experienced it through my life in things that I wanted that didn't turn out so well, right? Oh yeah, there's that bad luck, that it's just with me. And it was almost like a being that hung around with me, blocking my way, in the way, always in the way. And sometimes I'd outsmart it and get around it. And other times I just didn't, it won that time. What a weird thought. But that was how my body experienced apathy. It's hopeless because, yep, there's that thing right in my way. Isn't that an interesting?
That is, it's so amazing, you know, that, you know, you don't even think about these things, but yet there it is. You can imagine as it's running in the background. Ah, yeah. You know, I got a dark, you know, Linus, you know, there's that dark cloud, you know.
Or Eeyore. Nobody. It's like that. And, you know, if you think about this, like Bill and I, our team, we do this work all the time. We've done this before. So to find that piece hidden, that was interesting. And that's the point. These things are things our nervous system wants to hide from us because they think that there's a chance they could kill us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's about safety. It's about security. So the nervous system will create a driver. Like, don't get out of your lane too far. Let's rein you back in. Because if you get too far outside, we don't know what's going to happen. That could be deadly. So it sets up a way to either drive you forward or hold you back. And it's always through sensation. So I kind of know in the past going into something, whether or not my bad luck wall blockade is likely going to show up in that thing. Like I know in advance now that I'm thinking about it.
Wow.
Probably not going to work out, you know.
Oh, wow.
I have this bad luck thing, right?
Oh, wow.
So that thing has to be cleared right out of there. But it equates to the level of apathy, of hopeless. And well, in a way, it's kind of funny. And it's not the kind of hopeless that's like depression and suicide and all of that. It's not that. It's this little pushback, this little blockade. So sometimes it's not so huge when you find it. It's not even so serious, but it can definitely hold you back. And I'm really aware of where it's been holding me back.
And that's it. That's it with all these levels. It's like, it's the boogeyman that's sitting there and it's getting you and you're like, I don't even know. But when you look straight at it, poof, it goes away.
Yeah, it's like the monster under the bed that grabs your leg so you fall down when you stand up to try to get out of bed.
Yeah.
It's really like that. But for some people, the despair and hopelessness around money can relate to many, many, many things in life. And a lot of times, our family origins, this is where we learn about money because that's not a concept for kids. You don't know until somebody tells you it's something you can't have. And you think about this, people who have money, their kids usually end up having money. They stay at that same level because they know it. It's comfortable for them. And people who don't have money, those people end up not having money or really struggling for it. Or sometimes the exact opposite. Their body's like, not that. Nope. That's the thing that's going to kill me. And they become a multi-billionaire. You know,
all the billionaires have this, have very hard childhoods.
Yeah. The driver, there's a big driver in your nervous system creates it. And in that case, a lot of times you'll find billionaires who also are not happy, still even not happy.
For sure.
Yeah. But. So that's an interesting one. So let's go up the scale because we're going to run out of time fast here to grief. Grief is, we all know this one, regret, despondency and tragedy.
You know, not only is this tied into the experience of loss, you know, your house burned down when you were a kid, you saw your parents have money and then they lost it. The grief of that. Those type of things where we grieve the loss, or maybe you went through your own loss and that trauma of losing everything, going through a bankruptcy. Well, that type of thing can really hold you back. That grief where you're stuck. If the universe could just give me back that money, if I could just have it back, if I could just have back that old situation, maybe you were married and then you got a divorce and then everything went to heck. You know, that grief of that loss, or the grief of simply any loss, the loss of the loved one. I can't be happy. And money's part of happiness, you know, part of being comfortable, and I can't have that.
Yeah. A person could look in their life for, did you lose a parent, you know, in your childhood? Did your parents get divorced? just a move from a house, moving from comfort to unknown, can create a pattern of grief in a body. You know, I had this, and now I don't have that. Losing a best friend, moving away from a best friend, a fight with a best friend that you lost. Like, for a kid, that feels like abundance, because money doesn't mean much, you know, till a certain age, till you know about it. But other things feel like abundance to you. You know, maybe your dog ate your favorite pair of shoes, and you grieve that because it's a loss, right? Of something that you wanted that made you feel happy and comfortable. So grief can be many, many things, but its signature is this weight or feeling in the body of deep regret or loss, or the overwhelming feeling that there's going to be a tragedy.
Yeah.
So that ties in with fear, but also tragedy follows you around when you're in grief all the time.
All the time. And that tragedy can look like another financial loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the way you put it, Liz. The opposite of abundance.
Yeah.
Loss.
Yeah. What did you lose, and how does that feel, and how familiar is that? Is going to be your signature of if grief is the thing that is holding you back, it's going to be the most familiar physical sensation in your life. You know, grief will be that kind of weight and heaviness. And right before a break, I just want to explain to you guys that, how does this relate into having money? Like, how did the person who cleared the things out all of a sudden get a big wave of money or success? But what it is that our bodies literally project our feeling onto the world. And that feeling just finds its match. We can't see anything else. We can't have the experience of anything else, because that is the predominant signal that is being sent out. So we'll talk about this more right after we hear from our good sponsors, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tennis Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we are back, everybody. And if you are hearing Bill and I today talk about these levels of really awareness and emotional levels that could be blocking you from having, you know, the abundance, the life that you want, you might be a great candidate to attend our CognoConscious event, September 8th through the 12th, 8th through the 12th, 2025. It is a 5-day event where we use our signature process, Cogno Movement, to clear your nervous system of these heavy emotions, these heavy drivers that are sending the signal that we talked about before the break into your reality and just finding their match, just creating that reality. So we're now at the level of fear, Bill. This is a big one for a lot of people.
So fear, in other words, for fear, anxiety. Who hasn't felt anxiety around money? There's not enough of it. I'm getting ready to pay the bills at the end of the month. How many people can identify with anxiety of logging on to look at their bank account? Is that a thing for you? If you log on to your bank account, are you just like, I feel nothing? You know, I'm just looking at some numbers. Or do you have a little bit of like, you know, or when the bills show up, you know, fear around, oh my gosh, I forgot about that one. Oh my God, that's due. The ones that, you know, for a lot of people, it's those ones that don't come in every month. The insurance, once a year, the property tax comes, or a mystery, you know, out of the blue, the car broke, you know, whatever it might be. But fear again, if you ever, you know, thought about a time of abundance in your life, and a feeling great, there's an absence of fear. You know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, was it that experience of feeling abundant and great and that sort of thing, that is very much in line with what the universe is? The universe is abundant. The universe is creative. The universe has a great feeling of support. And in fear, we don't feel supported. We don't feel abundant. So this is very much attracts, when we're in fear, it will attract limitation in all kinds of ways. And this is really neurological. Literally, when you're in fear, your brain shuts down where you can only think of a limited possibilities. And when you literally are in the other state, all kinds of things pop for you. Yeah, we could do it this way. We could do it that way. How about this? How about that? And things show up. So this is a really important level to clear.
Yeah, I have a great story about this. So at this event that we're talking about, the CognoConscious event, we had a gal who came in. She was another one that had a business that needed to be sold, that she really wanted to sell. But she had a lot of fear around the adjoining property and a relative who owned that property. Now, she didn't realize that consciously, but she really feared this relative, you know, feared this relative in her whole life. She feared the relative not wanting the best for her. So this happened during one of these sessions, the level of fear at the CognoConscious event. And boy, this was a big session, but it lasted about 5 minutes. That's it. Where she was sweating and crying and certain that this person actually might want her dead. This relative that had the adjoining property to this business. Now, you can feel that set up in your mind already. You know that ain't good, right? So why would your body hold you back from selling something or doing something you want to do if someone wants you dead? Well, because you want to stay alive, right? So all of a sudden, this thing cleared, and she really became aware that the relative actually really loved her, really admired her, and that she might actually be their favorite, that it was never really the way she thought it was. And during that session, and this is no joke and no exaggeration, she got a full price offer on her business. The first one in years.
I recall it was somewhere in the $10 to $20 million range.
Yeah, it was a big business. I don't remember the numbers, but it was a big business. And it was, she'd had offers, but they were terrible. Now, it did take about a year for everything to go through, as it does in those kind of businesses. But from that point, the sale was on and it completed, and she sold the property and everything was fine with the relative. So consider that. How do you move that kind of a roadblock in 5 minutes?
And the thing was, that was her reality. That fear was a lifetime of fear, you know.
And true for her. True for her, right?
Absolutely, positively true for her. And then within 24 hours, done. Gone. And the offer actually, it was very funny because I still remember the phone call coming in and the offer.
The offer was while we were doing that session, the offer had come into the
account. I thought it was by the next day.
No. That one was in the session. She opened her after on the break, she opened her email and there was the offer. Like you seeing her face, I can still remember it. I mean, she was blown away.
I do remember that.
It was her giant resistance, and for good reason. She thought, you know, it might kill her. Kind of not really consciously, but in the back of her mind, that was the fear. So these things, again, hidden, not top of mind, not known, hidden. And sometimes we do have real fear about money because we've experienced loss or tragedy or all the things below that, grief, apathy, guilt, shame, they're all in there. And we experienced fear in our family, having lost money or lost a business or lost. So let's move on to desire. This one, remember Tia's story about a craving set around money?
You know, I'm going to have you tell that story, but I just want to, I'll frame this one out. I create the framework for it. You know, desire, you might think, well, no, that's really positive. You want things, you desire things, you know, desire creates creativity, but this is the level really of when it turns into a craving, an addiction, or an enslavement. So do you feel enslaved to that, whatever that is? And that type of feeling, everybody knows this, you've experienced whatever that is, but if you're enslaved to the job, and you know, there's that whole thing of I have to keep this because I have the mortgage, and you know, all those things that us humans go through. But this level where it creates a lot of suffering, you know, inevitably I want it, I'm craving it, I desire it, and I'm not getting it. You know, it creates a tremendous amount of resistance. But tell us about what happened with Tia.
Well, we have this intrepid practitioner. Our practitioners are the most amazing people on the planet. And they really just are so brave. And she was having a struggle around money. And she decided to do what's called a cravings set around money. Her craving for money, the need for it, that felt like craving in her body. So a craving set usually takes around 20 minutes. So she did the craving set wanting money and all the things that came with it as much as she did, right? And she says, poof, all of a sudden she realized, oh my God, that's a weird feeling about that. And she no longer had that sensation anymore, that pull on money. And she said, all of a sudden, all kinds of things came through. Like she'd been waiting on some support that would come from the state. And then some other check arrived and somebody gave her money, literally all in the day or a couple of days, just by addressing it this way, that need, that want, that desire. And it wasn't that she didn't have money already, but she had this need for it for more for some other reason. So that was a really, really great example of that.
That is so great. You know, the next level, anger. Now, at the next level of anger, this level is, I think, really important because being a human, we all experience it. But it's kind of, is it my set point? Is it that, you know, we see people out there, you know, that we know are generally, you know, walk on eggshells here. It's going to go off at any moment. Now, anger is one of those things where, you're trying to control your surroundings. And, I certainly, make no bones about it. That was my life. But I didn't understand something super fundamental about this and how it played out in my own personal finances. You know, I had a lot of anger, towards my father. And I also in my life had tremendous boom and busts, millionaire, not a millionaire, multimillionaire, not a multimillionaire, and also many, many other things, not just finances, but my point of this is that our anger is a lot of energy. It can create energy to get stuff done, and also to back people off, that sort of thing. That's the kind of the upside of it. But there's also many, many downsides to this, especially if you're somebody who has anger towards one of your parents. And why is this? Well, as it turns out, their DNA is inside you. That literally the mother's DNA lodges inside your liver. Actually, her DNA is inside you. And that's why there's this whole thing with a mother's intuition. She knows what's going on. Her DNA is an antenna. It's inside of you. So of course they know, but it goes way beyond that. You are part male, female, the two energies inside of you. If I'm rejecting mom or dad, I can by force, create success, but you have very, very high odds of things collapsing. Now, the way out is to be able to process all of that and get yourself to a different place with it, where you're no longer experiencing it. And with it too, things will level out where it should be. It's creating the foundation.
Yeah. And that is true. You have to look at your DNA that comes from your ancestry as a program, just like a computer program. But what most people don't realize is it can be reprogrammed. If we use the neurological system like we do in cognitive movement, we can reprogram the DNA. We can reprogram the action that it has on how the mind and body interact with themselves and the action that you create in the outer world. These programs that run in the body, that's what they do. They create the action and reaction of how you live in this world. It's what you see. It's how you think. It's how you feel. It's what you do consciously and unconsciously on a daily basis. So what Bill and I have done is we've created a way to reprogram that whole system by using the body's own natural responses. There's physical sensation, there's the brain, there's the spinal cord, there's sound, there's sight. All of it can be used to, with precision, change the way your body interacts with its own world. So we've run out of time for today. The last one is pride. We don't have time to go over it, but you think pride is a good thing around money, it can be the thing that holds you back. So maybe we can talk about it next time. Or come to the CognoConscious event, beautiful sunny San Diego, September 8th through the 12th. We're going to work this thing for 5 days, but we're not just going to talk about the negative side of things. We're going to move into neutrality and willingness and acceptance and reason and love and joy and peace and even enlightenment around this topic of money and many others. So we want to reach out and invite you to join us and finally make this change so that your interaction with the world is one that you choose and not from old programming. Right, Bill?
That's right. We'll look forward to seeing you in San Diego.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, until next time, be safe and be well, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for being here with us. on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.